Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's Jason Manford and Steve Edge on Absolute Radio. Morning, big fella.
Morning.
Back. Morning. How are you?
I'm all right. Do you know where I am? I'm back in the shed.
Back in the shed.
For the first time. Back in the shed. For the first time since like last October. Because I was up in Manchester filming, then I was in Stratford and Redditch, and then we came into the studio. Oh, it's like putting on like a warm pair of slippers, you know. But these slippers
are warm.
It is now because I've put the radiator on at 8 o'clock. But it's like a warm pair of slippers, but there's all boxes in here because we might be moving soon, and loads of junk from Christmas. So,
oh yes, of course.
All that's still in here.
We did actually have a few people asking how Steve's house move getting on. People are
still,
people,
you know,
interested.
These things take time, don't they? So we're still waiting for the initial replies to be replied to by the lawyers and the solicitors and the solicitors.
Oh, God. There's definitely something going on with solicitors and lawyers where they still cling on to the letter, don't they? Because they can, like, charge proper money for letters. No one else is doing letters.
No, but also when I think of solicitor, I think of like defending like somebody's been wrongfully accused of a murder or something. I don't think of somebody going, "Did you've got a permit for that party wall?" That's not the same. That shouldn't have the same job title.
It's not Perry Mason, is it?
Is it? I'd love to see a show about a solicitor who just deal with party wall agreements,
land registry.
Have you got planning permission for this? And you go, oh, I didn't expect this. It's just a bloke just going around asking for documents. I don't have The radiators were here when we got in. Double glazing.
It'd have to be like, you know, it'd be dialed up, wouldn't it, for telly?
Yeah.
But like, what's in there? Japanese knotweed. Don't go on the garden.
Get someone like Saran in it. Reach, you'd nail it.
Oh, yeah, Saran like Jones would be good.
Is that Japanese knotweed?
They're serious.
We've got the results back from the survey. It's Japanese knotweed.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
The chain's collapsed.
Yeah. Oh, well, I hope that goes all right. But I'm glad you're back in the shed. I'm at the Four Seasons in Hampshire.
Oh, nice.
That's where I am.
Hampshire, where? That's just a county, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what it's called, Four Seasons Hampshire.
You're just in some county somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know what the nearest town would be, actually. Winchester, maybe? Or I think Aldershot is not close, not far, sorry. It's just in the middle of, like, between Aldershot and Basingstoke. It's very nice.
You wouldn't call it, you'd definitely call it what they've called it, the Hampshire Hotel.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect, but...
The Four Seasons Basingstoke.
It's not.
Does not sound like... No.
It's not one of their flagship hotels over in Basingstoke.
No.
I suspect Basingstoke, but you know. You live there. You know more than us.
I've been there quite a few times.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, I know.
Basingstoke. They've gone Four Seasons Hampshire. It's very nice. But I did slightly book it by accident.
Right.
I knew there was a Four Seasons around here. I'm in Southampton and Portsmouth this weekend. I knew that, and it's obviously a nice hotel. I thought, you know what, first one back, a nice hotel to treat myself. Stay in a nice hotel, it's got a nice gym, because you know I'm a gym guy.
And, yeah, you're a gym guy, I know. Yeah.
I'm a gym guy.
And you like the seasons, don't you? You like all the seasons, you're a spring guy and a winter guy.
All Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Always reminds me of that brilliant Simpsons joke as well, when Marge kicks Homer out and she says, Lisa the next day says, where have you been staying? And he says, do you know the Four Seasons? And she says, yeah. He says, well, I've experienced them all because I'm sleeping in the park.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
It's a great joke. But there is also what I found out, because I'm in Portsmouth and Southampton, which is sort of just over an hour away, actually, from where I am, which is not ideal when you're booking a hotel. But I said to my assistant, oh, book us in the Four Seasons. That's I've just Googled it. That's really close. It's like 15 minutes away. Booked it. It's an hour away. I was like, what the hell's going on here? I realised there's also, not far from here in Fareham, which is where I thought this was, a Four Seasons retirement village.
Oh.
And that's what, when I Googled it, that's what came up.
You put your name
Four Seasons, near Southampton.
Yeah.
So that's where I thought I was staying.
Yeah.
At retirement village. That would have been a hell of a shot, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm saying put your name down for the future. It sounds quite nice.
That's not a bad shout, actually. That's not bad.
Because there'd be a waiting list. Yeah.
that's not a bad shout, actually. This is our first show back since our Christmas special.
Yeah.
Since New Year and all that sort of stuff. We've not really discussed. What did you get for Christmas, Steve? I know you texted me a couple of things that you got.
But... I got a few things. I can't, remember now off the top of my head. I had a cushion with one of my cat's faces on. That was one of the... it wasn't my main one. I mean, it gives you a rough idea of the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, tell us about the main one, though. What's the one that you text me is the best one.
Well, and, anyone who knows me...
Yeah.
..knows... I don't know where to start with this. I'm a Wolves fan, yeah.
Massive Wolves fan.
I like football. I wouldn't say I'm a massive... I'm a Wolves fan.
You're a Wolves fan more than a football fan.
Yeah, but I think people who support a team aren't they?
I'm the same. So massive Wolves fan. Huge.
People knowing that about me.
And you've got a garden.
I have got a garden.
And you've got a garden. Put those two things together.
Get him a garden gnome dressed in a Wolves shirt.
In a Wolves shirt.
Holding a pint of beer.
I think he says something like...
But yeah, when it's, I like it frothing over the side of the tankard. Yeah. You know me.
Also the gnomes. Yeah. So that's worked out.
So that was one of my presents. I don't know if that was my main.
Yeah. In my mind, that's your main present.
That's my main, yeah. Well, you said you'd like one, and I found a website where I can, so don't just, let's not ruin the surprise.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed for my birthday. A Man City gnome.
Yeah, it's amazing at Christmas. I do some of my best work as an actor at Christmas when I'm opening presents.
Oh, I mean, if BAFTA were looking through the window when you open the...
Yeah, I think I'd get an Emmy. I might even get an Oscar for some of these. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm very... Oh, my...
Yeah.
Wow! So I think,
it's so hard, though, isn't it? It is hard.
I've got everything. I'm not having a go at anybody. I'm happy that anybody's bought me a present. I've got everything. And I'm hard to buy for, so they've gone. Yeah,
no,
and
it, it's hard. My dad bought me a didgeridoo 1 year. Like that's how.
There's nothing
that's how
left.
Desperate he got.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just like, I don't know what to get you.
I don't know what to get you. Yeah. Well, I asked for tap shoes this year. I didn't get them, but that's how. I've got everything. I don't need anything. Yeah.
No, well, that's what the world we live in now, because of the instant. Amazon and Prime and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like in the olden days when you would go, right, and I need a couple of things, I'm going to go shopping. And it was a chore, wasn't it, to go shopping, go and do those things and get those things for you. Well, now you can literally go, I want that, it's here tomorrow.
That's one of my favourite bits of Christmas now. It's become a new thing. It's Boxing Day, about sort of 6 o'clock when everyone's had a bit of food and they're all doing their thing. You just go and lie on the bed upstairs, get your phone out, and you buy the things you really wanted yourself. But no more boy. You go on there, you go, well, I'm not going to, because you can't do it before Christmas because somebody might have bought you. So now you sit there and you go, right, I wanted some of them pants. They're the pants I wanted, not the ones they got me with the camper van on. I wanted these pants. And you get to see, it's a little tradition now, you sit and do that.
No, it's nice that, find stuff you really want. Good. This is Jason Manford. This is Absolute Radio. Music matters. Hey, so Ralph Little was on Home Time with Bush this week, and chatting about the new series of Death in Paradise, which obviously we have both been in on the last series.
Last year, wasn't it? Or year
yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the question came up. Bush, obviously, one of the world's most famous contrarians, and asked Ralph. Who was the more professional to work with, me or thee?
Okay.
No, I've not heard this clip yet. Neither have you. What's your guess?
Well, when I worked with you, instead of being an eyeline for me, you went up to get everyone calipos. So I'd say me.
I mean, that was one time. That was one
yeah,
time.
But that's all I'm going on.
And I will point out, when I got back, you at the calipo.
No, I didn't. That was the other thing. I said to you after, I was like, where were you? And you went, I went to get him one calipo. I went, oh, okay. And then I remembered the DOP. He was eating a calipo when I was asking for an eyeline because you weren't there. And because that shot had taken like half an hour to do, when I came back inside, there were no calipos left. So I didn't even get a calipo.
Well, I apologise for that, but you know,
but that's my reasoning. You've got to have a reason.
Okay, okay. I think he's going to say you as well, actually. Just because, you know, I don't know. Because I'm a comic, I think he'll feel like he can have more of a laugh in that respect.
Okay.
Even though you're, you know, a comic as well, but I just think that's what he'll say. Let's find out anyway. Here we go. This is what Ralph Little said.
Okay. Definitely Manford. Definitely Manford. Okay. Jason, if he would make a joke and we'd have a bit of banter on set, Jason would make a joke and that would be fine, and then we'd laugh and then we'd shoot the thing. Steve, just before we'd go for a take, Steve would say something really quietly under his breath, some hilarious observation, and that would be me spending the entire take just gone, just trying not to laugh, like thinking that like my head completely gone when I'm supposed to be consoling someone over the death of their husband. And I'm just thinking of something that Steve said to me 20 seconds ago. So Steve's like stealth unprofessional. He's just always stitching me up, making me laugh.
Okay, I'll take that.
Well, I mean, you got to take that, to be honest, because I'd back him up there.
Yeah,
But, you know, not unprofessional, I wouldn't say. It's just, no, not saving lives,
is
it?
It's not me who's messing up, is it?
No, exactly. If you're not professional enough...
to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should try working with John Thompson. I mean, he's got anecdotes non-stop and then action, and you're still thinking about the end of the anecdote.
Well, Death in Paradise is back on the telly this week as well. Always nice to have a little trip to the Caribbean when the weather's not so nice back here. Yeah. And if you want to watch the last series, that's on iPlayer as well. I can't remember what the review said, but I think they said it was one of the best series of Death in Paradise ever, I think. So
maybe.
Well, certainly those two episodes.
Episodes 3 and 4, I think. Three and four. Yeah.
Real classics.
Yeah.
In fact, weirdly enough, I just remembered, I was on a train recently, and a bloke was watching the episode of Death in Paradise that I was in.
Oh, that's
and
odd.
I walked past him on the way to the loo, saw it, and then on the way back, just sort of nudged him and went, "I did it." Just went back to
Me. I mean, yeah. You didn't do it, Fame and Keeper.
No.
Oh, spoiler. Jason
Manford.
We're recording this on Friday before the show goes out on Sunday. I mean, between now and then, Steve, how many more parties do you reckon Boris Johnson has been to?
Well, it's Friday and Saturday, isn't it? They're the big nights, aren't they? It's like the Hacienda or something. It's like a super club, isn't it? Cream or something. Ministry of Sound. The amount of parties they have. It's just like, do you reckon there's like a door policy? Like there's a guy going, no, girl, you know, what's more girl? You know, like a Studio 54, it's called. That sort of thing.
Yeah, there's something going on.
Tossing the salad, they call it, don't they? Yeah.
That's right, yeah. There is something very odd going on. I mean, I would say, I looked at the paper the other day, and the main headline was about Boris and the party, and tucked up in the corner was the story about Prince Andrew. And I thought, you've really messed up when you're the main headline on that day.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, we're not Radio 4, we're not a politics show, but
no,
you can't keep having these parties.
No.
It doesn't look
like a party house, though, does it? It's just a sort
of. No, it doesn't seem.
Dour,
like
sort of mid terraced sort of thing. I mean, the gardens might be amazing, you know, but I mean
yeah. You know that video clip of Matt Hancock having a little snog and a grope?
Oh, yeah, a little squeeze.
That now looks like it happened at a party.
It's after a party, isn't it? Clearly he's had a couple of sherries.
In context, you're like, oh, okay. I don't know. Yeah. Who knows what's going to
happen?
Well,
yeah, I mean, some of them weren't parties. They were work meetings, weren't they?
They were work gatherings. Yeah. With with wine and music.
Girlfriends and babies.
Girlfriends and babies, yeah. I might just start having business meetings with catering.
Yeah.
And music and like a clown. Like you could this will all be that tax deductible now for loads of people. Suddenly start
this is the works do.
Yeah. This is he needs to work out how good was his party for him to not realise it was going
on. He wasn't there. Well, that's like the 60s, they say, don't they? You know, if you can remember the 60s, you weren't really there. And that's what that party was.
That's what they say about
if you can remember that you were there at that party, you weren't really there. And he's not sure if he was there. So he had an all right night.
And if he was there, it's okay.
Yeah, I think.
Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. Are you a big New Year fan? Are you like, do you start going, right, New Year, new me, I'm going to start doing this and this and this?
No. I think it's the wrong time.
Think you can do that any wrong time.
You can start any. You can do that start of any week, any day, can't you? Right, I'm going to change this for the better. I think to start at the beginning of the year, January's quite a miserable month, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've just gorged yourself on all that Christmas stuff. There's still trees hanging around in the street waiting to be picked up. We're in this sort of hinterland between the two. Nah. Drink what you want. Eat what you want. Enjoy yourself. And also,
starting Feb.
Yeah, starting Feb. But also, I've got so many of those little, those little liqueurs at Christmas. If I was doing, dry January, are they allowed? Are they allowed?
Yeah, you're right. Actually, it's the wrong
sell by
date
on them.
Start things. It basically gives you a week for Christmas to get everything there.
And you've had all that lovely food, and then you're going to go, right, I'm going vegan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bit. It's from one extreme to another, isn't it?
Yeah, choose the time that works for you. Rather than the month.
that's your resolution.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah. For marketing. Well, look, there is well, I invariably go, right, okay, Jace, this is it. This is you're 40.
Mm.
You know, if you don't get things sorted now, you never will. I was doing quite well last year until I had those operations, and that sort of set me back a little bit with health and weight loss and stuff like that. I've just sort of got back on it really, just sort of trying to eat well and exercise a bit, and I'm just going to take it steady. Nothing crazy. Nothing crazy. Yeah. I mean, you know, I also like to learn something this year. I've decided I'm going to learn. You know, I've got a guitar, I've got a banjo, there's a piano at home that my wife plays and the kids play.
Which one are you going to learn?
I think I might just go all of them.
Okay. No, all stringed instruments.
I mean, I would like to learn the banjo because I do like the banjo, but I also feel like, as Mark Twain once said, the definition of a gentleman is someone who can play the banjo but doesn't.
Chooses not to, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I sort of quite,
that's the opposite of Ricky Tomlinson, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, sort of, and also I'm on tour, aren't I? I'm sat around in hotels most of the time.
That the banjo isn't a nice instrument to hear being learned.
Yes.
I had a viola when I was like 16. I want a viola because I wanted to be like John Cale at the Velvet Underground. Right. It's not an instrument that people can bear listening to you learn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Get a trombone because at the very least you can do brrr, can't you?
Yeah, comedy noises.
If in fact, once you've done that, you don't need to bother with anything else.
Learned it, haven't you? I'll tell you, actually, I've been thinking about it. One of the things I would like to do more is travel and have like holidays with people, like with other people. As much as I love holidays with my wife and children and all that sort of stuff, it's lovely. But I don't know. Like I've got mates and who I see sometimes, and they've been on holiday with other families or other mates and stuff, and I think, oh, that looks quite a bit of a laugh. You know what I mean? Do your own thing, but also, you know, in the evening sometimes when you just sort of like playing go fish with the kids, you think, bloody week of this. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would be nice to if like someone's got kids as well, and it just means your kids have got someone to take their attention, so you can have a holiday as well. I don't know. Yeah. I quite like the idea of that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I think my parents are getting older as well, you know, and they've not really travelled. They're not travelling, but they would like to. And I sort of, you know, if you think about it, like, I mean, I'm 40 now. My dad's 65. Like, let's say, I don't know, 80 or whatever is 85. So I've got 40 years left. I mean, that's only another sort of, and I've got busy summers even. Let's say on average there's another 25 summer holidays in my life. Better get on it.
Yeah.
It's not that many, is it, when you break it down?
No, I mean, you've sort of ruined the holiday a little bit. I don't want to be sat in an infinity pool in Greece having this conversation with you. Well, only another 17 of these left. Do you know what? I feel like I got a bar. Is it all inclusive? No, no, didn't choose all inclusive because I thought we could find out the magic of the local people. Oh, God. Never again!
We've never had a holiday together, actually.
No, we haven't, no.
I think we'd have a laugh. We'd have a
I think we would. Well, unless I don't know anymore.
Existential chat in the spa, but other than that, yeah, we would. Who else wants to travel? Loads of people. Donna Craven says, I want to get my spontaneity back, Jason.
Yes.
More adventurous holidays, more seeing family who live hundreds of miles away.
Do it.
That's what she wants. Yeah. Get on it. Go on, Donna, you can do it. Fiona Kingswood, at 48 years old, I have just passed my driving test for my very first time. Very chuffed. That's a good thing to do all out of nowhere.
We can go on like the driving holidays now and visit people.
Off you go. Go do it. Get out there. See the world. Sam Newham says, I realised how much I don't like the hospitality industry anymore. After being made redundant during the lockdown, I got a job that wasn't chefing, which I've been doing for however long.
Right.
I now work more sociable hours, get regular breaks, and have a much better work-life balance.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
Maybe as horrendous as it's been the last 2 years, I wonder how many people have learnt things about themselves.
Well, I think a lot of people went, do you know what? The 9-to-5 grind that I was doing, I want to do something a bit more. Because it was taken away from us.
Of course.
You had the opportunity to look back at it from a distance and go, I don't think I'm enjoying that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's, you know, positive.
Good in certain cases. And Nikki Jane says, I've actually really enjoyed it the last couple of years. I got out and about a lot more. I went walking, found myself, found places I'd never been before. Riding pillion on my boyfriend's motorbike. Is that what it's called, pillion?
What's that? Is that when you're on the sit on the handlebars?
On a motorbike.
It's on his shoulders, this pillion, isn't it?
I think it's pillion. Yeah, it
standing on his shoulders. I think
it's two people either side of his shoulders. And then
is it not like Georgia Mildred when she's in the sidecar?
I think it probably is that. I would hope so anyway.
Yeah.
But she's done a test now and she's also a cool biker. So she's getting on with that. New year, new things, guys.
Yeah.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Matters.
New year, new you. What's changed? What are you thinking? Yeah. Certainly, this feels like a big new year. After the last 2 years we've all had, this feels like a big one. You know, people are reassessing their lives. As the great philosopher Molly May once said,
yeah,
we've all got the same
again?
24 hours in the day, Steve.
Exactly, yeah. We have, haven't
we've
we?
We've all got the same 24 hours in the day.
Not in the same house, though, is it?
It's not in the same
And the house isn't the same size.
I got to say, this is just, I've read that last week in the paper. People went overboard on...
I just sort of caught the end of it. What happened? Who is Molly May?
Basically, I think she might have done like a TOWIE or an Essex or one of those reality
shows.
Well,
they're always good people to listen to you.
Yeah.
Firm grasp on reality.
Maybe she does. Does she do business stuff? I think she does. Is she like an ambassador or something? Pretty Little Lies or things?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it. I'm just blagging it. Yeah, on TikTok. Basically, she said in a podcast on the CEO Diary of a CEO's podcast, Stephen Bartlett, she says something along the lines of, you know, we've all got the same 24 hours in the day as Beyonce. I don't know why she mentioned Beyonce. And people went, basically discredits people who are struggling, people living below the poverty line. Like, lots of people have got 24 hours in the day, of course. It doesn't mean they're all 23-year-old influencers and can make millions of pounds looking pretty on packaging or whatever. Mm. Which is a silly thing to say. I get it. She's 23. You know what I mean? I'm not being patronising, but at 23, you do sort of say things that you just go, come on, we can do it. We can do anything. If at 23 you don't think you can do anything, then... that is a problem. Do you know what I mean? They went for it online too much, like really harsh. You know, at first it was like, okay, she's made a mistake here, let's get over it. And then it just cut this barrage of, you know, not to get into the sort of Caroline Flack thing, but the idea of how much stuff this poor girl had to take. I did feel sorry for her in the end, if I'm honest. But yeah, same 24 hours in the day is what she was essentially saying on a podcast about entrepreneurs. That's what people want to hear when you're listening to a podcast about entrepreneurs. Otherwise, you go, well, I think we just live in that world now where you have to try and include everybody in every sentence you ever say.
Yeah. I suppose we also live in a world where everyone wants to be furious all the time, though, don't they?
Yeah, quite right, yeah, yeah. But it's like it's getting to that point now where you go, right, everybody, there's nothing to stop you just getting out and just doing your 10,000 steps every day and getting fit. Well, I've got no legs, mate, so I'm going to do that. You're like, well, I didn't mean you. Like, that's like that's where we're getting to now, where you've got to go, right, put your sunglasses on. I've got no ears. Oh, for God's sake. Like, what can you do? You've got to just go, well, that's what I meant for most people. And then you'll just have to work out your little thing by yourself. I don't know. It's I'll probably be cancelled myself now just for saying that people were harsh on her. But I'll take it, Steve. I'll take it. I'm ready.
I don't know enough about it.
Classic Steve backing out so he doesn't get cancelled.
I didn't see the backlash. I didn't even see the forward lash.
The forward lash. Anyway, new year, new me, new you, new all of us. What's the thing that you're going to change this year? If, of course, you want to change, if, of course, you can change. If you can't change, then this bit's not for you, and I apologise if it hurts your feelings.
I've got no ears.
Where real music matters. Steve, we're talking New Year's resolutions this morning. New Year's things that you're going to do. I mean, we're a good 2 weeks into the new year, so hopefully you made something.
Yeah, still going?
Have you stuck
to
it?
Think?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Do you think people have stuck to it 2 weeks later?
What's the point? I feel like a lot of people with Veganuary and Dry January are just trying to see it this first month. I'd be a nicer person just for a month. And then I'm going to go back to my normal rage. It feels like it shouldn't be a monthly thing. New Year's resolution should be, it's a new year. But like, I feel like people now go, I've only got to do it for 30 days. So sort of give or take.
Yeah. Are you doing Veganuary?
No.
Oh, okay. No. I thought you were, because I've still got
Christmas ham left.
I text you that steak that I had on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
That massive steak.
Well, you're not doing it. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, clearly.
I mean, no. That was amazing.
Was it Salt Bae?
It wasn't Salt Bae, no.
There needs to be a vegan equivalent of him. Just like a bloke who just vegan, spills salt crystals down his elbow.
Onto some cauliflower.
Yeah. Onto some jackfruit. Jack Bae.
Kathy Mullins says, Jason, mine is clothes. I'm not buying any new clothes.
Okay.
I make dresses. And any day wear is going to go to charity shops if I don't use it. Fear of another lockdown. Why should I be spending £80 on a dress if I can't go out? Well, that makes sense, yeah.
There is that, yeah. There's a logic there.
I know what you mean about clothes. I've often thought this. Like, I've got, like, you know, this is one of those telly things that's going to annoy some people. But when you finish a TV show, they just, like when you're hosting and stuff, they just give you what you wore for the telly show. So, your suits.
I've seen some of the stuff you've worn on some of those shows, though. Have you ever gone, nah, you're right, mate?
No, but.
I'll leave that, thanks. Give it Lee, man.
I did find this charity called Suitability, which is a really good idea, actually. Have a look online. If you've got any spare suits or anything knocking around, or business wear knocking around, what you can do is donate it to them. And then they've got people going for job interviews who haven't got a suit.
Right.
Or a nice suit to wear for a job interview. And then they can sort of hire
you. You haven't donated some of yours to that, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're not going to get that
actually,
job.
Steve.
Why have you got fish all over your shirt? It's a pattern.
I know.
I bought on 8 out of 10 cats. Oh. No, you're not got a job, mate.
I did think, unless you're going for a job as a Saturday night game show host, you're not going to get it.
As a Timmy Mallet impersonator, you're not going to get it.
All right, you're not that bad. Unbelievable. But buying new clothes, I can understand that. Kerry says, follow your dreams. That's what she's going to do. Follow a dream.
Okay.
Depends which dreams, doesn't it, I guess?
Yeah, does she mean the dreams that she's got control over? Not the ones, you know, when you're being chased by like a bloke on a motorbike who's got a shark's head. Not that one.
Yeah. I don't want to read a news story this week about a bloke sat naked in a school exam. Okay. Yeah. That's not the follow your dreams that you're supposed to follow.
No, okay. It's the ones that you've got, the daydreams rather than...
Your ambitions.
Yeah,
your ambitions,
yeah.
Your ambitions, your aims is what she
Success,
means. Not,
yeah,
your,
yeah.
Not your dreams. I don't want all
Nightmares.
Your teeth falling out.
Yeah.
Yeah. She says, I've always wanted to live at the, on the coast. So we sold up recently and we've moved to North Norfolk. We're mid-40s and I thought, what we're waiting for? Let's get it on. So my husband, two older children, 17 and 19, a nine-year-old, three dogs. The day we moved, I called my sister and said, what the hell have I done? But it's actually turned to be the best move ever.
Yeah. Lovely part of the world. Yeah.
What a nice thing to do. Why not? Mm-hmm. Chris Lindley, this is quite an important one, says, mine is to proofread every post that I put on social media. The grammar police are out there.
Yeah.
That's what I think we should all have a little go at that as well. I to be honest, I write a lot of posts and then I put them in my drafts. That's what I've been doing this for about a year now. And I put them in my drafts and then a couple of hours later, I have a read of them and I think, and basically eight times out of ten I go, nah.
Nah, not worth it.
Nah, that's going to be in the paper.
Yeah. Nah.
So, yeah, I think that's the way forward as well. I need to, definitely when it comes to social media, I'm going to definitely take a step back, I think.
Yeah.
This year. That's my idea. I got sent this book, right? I don't. You're not too bad on social media. You just sort of flick on.
No, I just go on when something funny. I go on when I'm on something, but I don't really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Contribute. Yeah, I know what you mean. I got sent this book by an author, journalist, Joanne Harry, called Stolen Focus. And he sent me this book and he sent me a little message. He's a really nice guy and he's a really, very talented writer. And he said, I'd love you to read this book, Jason. It's called Stolen Focus. It's about how social media technology has stolen our focus and why you can't pay attention to anything. And he sent me that book two, three weeks ago. I've not even opened it, Steve, because I literally...
No time, have you? Been chatting on Twitter.
Honestly, I was on the train yesterday. I brought the book specifically with me to read. 2 hours just flicking through TikTok videos, Instagram and responses on Facebook. I've got...
Yeah, I mean, he's giving you the tools there. You need to sort of take and run with those rather than...
I know.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Yeah.
I know, it really is. But I think that's a good one for a lot of people. Step back from the social media. It's not real. It's not true. It's full of, you know, numpties. So maybe just take a step back and just have a little look out the window. Go outside, see what's going on.
A little daydream.
Take a picture of it. Stick a filter on it.
Filter on that, yeah.
Whack it on your Instagram.
Yeah.
Listen to this one from Becky Frith, Steve. She says, last couple of years has made me in awe of our amazing teachers, so I've decided to become one. And now I'm second year at uni studying a BA in primary education.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? That's good. That's good.
It's a good thing to do. Absolutely. If anything, I've gone the opposite way with teaching.
Teachers.
Because, not with teachers, no, I think they're amazing as well. Yeah. But I definitely had a moment, well, all my life when people say, if you weren't doing stand-up, what would you be? And I've always said, oh, teaching, I think. I think teaching... Mm. was always something I was interested in. I've got a couple of friends who've become teachers and thought that'd be... And after doing, 3 months of homeschooling?
Yeah, and the rest. Yeah.
Yeah, that is not the job for me.
No.
That takes a special someone, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But then I was against the whole phonics thing.
You've always been against phonics, haven't you?
Oh, man.
Yeah. You're anti-phonics, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I am.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's fair enough.
Even the word phonics is not spelt phonetically.
Fur on.
It's not fur, it's per her, isn't it?
Yeah, but per her is fur, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not one of the first diagraphs you learn, my friend.
Hannah Roxley says, I got made redundant from a job in banking, which during the first lockdown, I really realised was not what I wanted to be doing with my life. Now I'm doing an access course at college and I have interviews at all the universities I've applied for to study midwifery.
Oh, it's a great word, isn't it? Midwifery.
Midwifery.
Wifery.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good.
Brilliant, that. Jane Jenkins says, I changed my job to become a 999 call handler for ambulance services. Always wanted to do it, and now I'm doing the job I always wanted to do.
That's good.
Another honourable job, isn't it? There's a lot of people about the right gear change,
aren't they? Yeah.
That's fantastic. And Dean Holt just says, I've got a list, Jace. Swear more, eat less, be less angry, don't shout at the kids, buy better quality everything, watch older comedy sitcoms, might do stand-up, look after my car more, stop sitting on the toilet scrolling through Facebook.
Swear more.
Swear more. It's a funny one, isn't it?
Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, I'm not swearing enough, so next year I'm really going to go for it.
That's Dean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and eat healthier. If anything, Dean, I think you need to swear less.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
We've been chatting New Year's resolutions this morning, things that are... that you could change about yourself. I quite like the quirky ones, the unusual New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
So here's a top 10 suggestions for alternative resolutions.
Oh, okay, that's a nice idea, yeah.
Mix it up a little bit, yeah? So, number one, get your photo taken in five interesting places.
Well, just, is that for the year?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, you could do five.
Or the rest of your life.
Five a week, five a month. Yeah,
yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah,
where would you want your photo taken?
How far have you got to go, though? You know what I mean?
I know. It's funny though, isn't it? When you think about photos, like I was thinking this recently. I remember my mum and dad coming back from America when I was a kid. They got this like free holiday with my auntie to America, and when they come back, this is the difference. When they come back, this is like late '80s, early '90s. All their photos, other than the odd one where they got a waiter to take a picture of them, all their photos were of the things that they saw.
That's the most annoying thing in the world, that, isn't it? That's not a New Year's resolution. That should be a tip for life.
Yeah.
Because I've got photos of when my mum and dad have been abroad and they're not around anymore and it's just pictures of buildings. I was like, I don't want a picture of a building. I want a picture of you. One of you needs to be in this photo. Yeah. Next to the building.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you just go, right, you take this one of me.
It's a better picture of the Taj Mahal than the one that you've just taken.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though you're pretending you're holding it.
Okay, number two, learn a decent party trick.
Okay, right.
That's not a bad
juggling,
shout.
Juggling? Oh, that'd be
imagine
one?
A guy just...
What about that one where you just pull the tablecloth out and nothing falls off the table?
Oh, my God.
Imagine doing that. Thanks for inviting us around for dinner. Before I go, I don't know if you noticed, but it's January the 5th today. For the last 5 days, I've been learning a little secret trick. So here we go. Oh, sorry. I'll come again next month. Try again. Sorry about that.
Everywhere.
Oh, did you get all that for Christmas, did you? Oh, still
all right,
that's
heirloom, is it?
Oh, sorry all about right. that.
Number three.
Just trying to make my life better.
Number three, make a new friend per month. Nah, not per month. That's too many friends.
Yeah. How do you do that as well?
Oh, I don't know how you do it.
Because you're actively seeking friends. It's creepy, isn't it? If you're just at the bus stop.
It's really weird.
Hiya, and what's your name? You're like, oh, come on, mate. So where do you...
That is weird, isn't it? You could just sit on the bus and like tap the seat next to you when people walk past.
Yeah, that's definitely going to get someone to sit next to you.
I know what you mean, though, about making new friends. I've often thought this, because I've got... Like, how many friends have you got?
Four?
Yeah, I think four. It must be the magic number. I've got one for every decade that I've been alive.
Yeah, I think it's about that, right, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm like struggling a bit after that. Four. And I'm also like, and I've also not got, I mean, we speak every day. And then, but the others probably once a week, once a fortnight maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
Not even that probably.
I know, but I don't want to actively seek more friends.
I know, do I need
more friends? If they turn up, they turn up, don't they? But
I think so. And I mean, we're lucky in our job because we do suddenly, you know, if you're stuck in an office with the same people all your life, and that's how
that's
we
it,
suddenly
it?
Meet new people on a new job and become really close and
best mates for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
See you again. Yeah, we'll do. And then you don't.
Yeah.
But that's, we're all aware that's what's going on. So that's fine.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Now make a new, I think a month's too much, but I think if you went right this year, I'm going to make a new friend.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. Or spend more time with the friends you've got. Develop a good relationship with your body.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, that should be a given, shouldn't it? Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? Yeah. Learn something you never learned as a child. Well, how do you know? How do you know what you didn't learn?
Was you like not wet in the bed?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that. Like, sleeping in your own bed. Right, Mum and Dad. I know I'm 40, but I've got a New Year's resolution.
I decided I'm going back to childhood.
Try a new food each week.
This sounds like that Don't Wear Sunscreen song now. Someone, in a minute, someone's going to say, do something that frightens you.
Oh, yeah, and no, I'm not into
every
that.
Every day, no.
I don't do anything that frightens me, ever.
No, why would you?
Not worth it. Why would you? It's frightening. Stupid that, thing to do.
Come on, mate, think this through.
I do something that makes me feel safe.
What's that? Do something new every day.
Do something... No, this is try new food each week.
Oh, try new food. That's hard, isn't it?
That's a lot of food, isn't it? Is there enough food? That's 52 different foods that you've got to try now.
A week, is that? Is that a week?
One a week.
And then you've got to go, what is this like a main? Would you have this instead of potatoes or instead of the meat? Oh, or what is this?
Some of these are too hard.
Yeah.
Jason Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
What do you think are the top 10 commonly broken New Year's resolutions?
So it's the same as the most common ones, isn't it? Most commonly broken.
They're
the ones
so, that probably. Yeah.
So what is a 10?
There's a 10 of them. Let's see what
you've got. Right, okay. Meat. Don't eat meat. Go vegetarian. Or vegan.
Well, it says eat healthier and diet. That's number 4. So, yeah, I guess that would be...
Smoking and drinking are in there, aren't they?
Smoking's there. Number 2 is quit smoking.
Is number 1 drinking?
Is number 10. No, number 1 is not any of those.
Oh, what's number 1 then? Is it?
You must know number 1. I've literally talked about it all the time.
Spend more time... Get a hobby?
Nope.
Go to the gym more?
There you go. Lose weight and get fit.
Yeah. Well, you don't need that. You're a gym guy, aren't you? So.
I'm a gym guy, Steve, so I'm fine. But I do understand
for
that
the
not everybody
is a gym
has
guy.
The same 24 hours in the day.
Well, they do, though. That's the thing.
They do. They and do. The same as Beyonce as well. I'm thinking about popping over later, maybe for dinner with Jay-Z.
Yeah, well, I can do. Beyonce can do it. You can do it.
Same 24 hours.
Same 24 hours.
So this is the top 10 most commonly broken New Year's resolutions. So number 10, drink less. Mm. Number 9, volunteer. That's a funny one. Right, this year, you know what? I'm going to help out at a manicure shop in my village.
Yeah. I'm just going to wait until it falls into my lap, though. I'm not going to look around for it.
I'm going to wait until they ask me.
Yeah. Wait, number 9, wait to be asked to volunteer to something. And if they don't ask me, well, I put it out there.
I was up for it. Yeah,
not, exactly. Not my problem.
And number 8 is be less stressed. I mean, I don't know how you can change that, really, other than changing other factors in your life.
Yeah, you put it on a list as well. Like, now it's like, come on, time's running out, be less stressed.
Travel to new places.
Yeah,
people fail to
do
that.
Had that opportunity. You know.
That's true. Spend more time with
the
family.
We can go to France again now if we want.
France are all right. Spend more time with the family. That's not a New Year's resolution.
That's not coming after New Year, after Christmas, is it? No.
No, after lockdown.
That's just a generic. It's a general one.
Number 5, get out of debt and save money. Again, very difficult thing to put on a New Year's resolution list. You know what I mean?
But it seems like it's 2 things as well. You know what I mean? Because you've got to get a debt first before you can start saving money.
My dad recently, I asked him recently about a will. I mean, he's not old, but, you know, I just sort of said, have you got a will? He's like, and he laughed in my face. He's like, what? Why would I have a will? I was like, well, you know, you'll want things to happen when you're not here. Why would I need things to happen if I'm not here?
He's got a point.
Like, right. He's got a good point there. Yeah. And I said, what about, are you leaving anything? He said, I've got nothing to leave. I said, I've got a couple of old debts. I think I might leave. I thought, imagine being sat in a solicitor's office.
Yeah.
They're going, okay,
good news.
Sorry about your father.
Yeah, your fault. You are mentioned actually in the will. Oh, that's good news. I wonder what this is.
What's that going to be?
It's a £50,000 debt to. okay.
Yeah, you owe British Gas for a car.
Apparently, never paid a gas bill in his life. That's quite an achievement. Didn't know he got away with it. So you should be proud as well as... Well, there's the form, if you need to.
Eat healthier and diet is number 4. Learn something new is number 3 as well, in the most commonly...
It's very vague, that, isn't it? Learn something new. Like a language or a skill or a party
or
trick
a fact.
Or a musical instrument or a fact.
You might just go, oh, my God, I didn't know rhubarbs did that. Yeah. Okay, well, take that off.
Okay, moving on. Well, you can just go, that's the fact. Do you know the third most thing people do is want to learn something new? I learned that. It ticks off.
is Jason Manford. This is Absolute Radio, where real music matters.
We are joined this morning by author C.K. McDonald. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Really well, really very well. Listeners of the show might remember we played with CK a little bit last year, where we did a little quiz with his Stranger Times book. You've got the paperback coming out.
Yes, the paperback is out now in actual shops, which was pretty cool because bizarrely, it took a year for me to see my book in a shop, which was really odd.
Of course, of course. Yeah. Are you tempted when you know your books? And it was 10 years ago I wrote a book, so I feel like you're probably similar to me. Are you tempted to go into shops, Smiths, Waterstones of that ilk, and put, if your book's like 16, 17 in the charts, just stick it up there with Richard Osman?
To be fair, you wouldn't be able to cover over all the Richard Osman books. That's basically that's Harry Potter for boomers. That thing's selling ridiculous numbers. I mean, literally, I think there's two copies of that in every house in Britain. So
it's massive. Isn't it? I know, it's huge.
Oh, massive. I mean, it's a good book. It is. You do feel like tempted to sort of move things around a little bit, or
put it in people's eyeline a bit.
Yeah, create an entire wall of them.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, but especially because Terry Pratchett's in the same section as me. He's my all-time favourite author. I am a little bit tempted just to sort of move the alphabet around quite a little bit and just put me beside Terry just to, for a little photo.
Yeah, so you can see them together.
They don't like when you do that, though. Ooh, they get very touchy if you start changing the alphabet in bookshops. They get very...
So tell us about this book for people who have been waiting for the paperback. What's it about?
Well, the Stranger Times book is sort of set in a newspaper in Manchester that reports weird and wonderful news from around the world. And then the idea is they find out that some of the crazy stories aren't quite so crazy. And it turns out some very weird stuff's going on indeed. So it's kind of like sort of, if you're into like Buffy the Vampire, Rivers of London, all the kind of paranormal stuff, it's quite in that area, I guess you could say.
Okay, that's cool. And I did something for you before Christmas, actually, which was I found very enjoyable.
Yeah, you did a brilliant job. You did. We have a podcast, basically. Basically, because 2020 was a little bit boring, as we all remember, as was 21, to be fair. I started doing short stories sort of set in the world. And I've got like friends of ours who are all comedians who a bit of free time in 2020. They all recorded them. And then you did this Christmas special called Fire in the Skies that came out just before Christmas, surprisingly, which is the way, I can think it's already our most popular episode. People absolutely go crazy for it. Well, you know, it's a story set in Manchester, so we had to get, you know, the area's favourite son, because I know there's the Manchester Salford thing with you, where both sides are claiming you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a great story. It was a really good story.
It's the first one I ever did, because it's basically based on the Manchester Blitz, when Manchester got bombed over 2 days just before Christmas in 1940. And I weirdly found out, like, the apartment building we used to live in was hit by it and stuff. And it's amazing. If you ever see a map, because there's all these areas, you know, in Manchester, and you see where all these bombs dropped, and it's kind of extraordinary when you see it. But sort of weird little bit of history, yeah.
So people can find the Stranger Times podcast in all the places you get podcasts, and the paperback of the book is out now as well in all the places you get books. I've got to say, Creeve, that your productivity is up there. I mean, what have you got, like a little sweatshop of writers, or... How are you managing to bang out so many books? You've got another one coming out soon as well.
Yeah, well, This Charming Man is out on February 17th, which is the follow-up to The Stranger Times. To be honest, I just sort of... Because a lot of authors do, like, one book a year, and I just get really bored. And now I've given up stand-up and stuff. I've nothing else to do in my life. So I ended up sitting in my little garden office out the back and just working away. And, you know, I do need a hobby, I will say that.
Well, me and Steve discussed this quite a lot, don't we, Steve, about hobbies?
Trying to find a hobby.
Because we're the same. We feel like we're... Because I think what happens when your job becomes your hobby, you then don't have an outlet of something that's just for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that's what I mean? Very true. So, I mean, I suppose unless you get a job playing football, because that's the only thing I've ever seen you do that you've not turned into a job. And even then, you've kind of done that.
I mean,
a
I would have.
Yeah.
I was like, good.
I mean, there's still time, Jason. I mean, you might not get the England call up, but you could probably get one of the, you know, maybe some Eastern European nation. If you've got any relatives we're unaware of that you might.
I'll work it out. I'll do that 23andMe, see if I've got.
Yeah, you'll be fine. There'll be something on there you can get into.
Connection, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can understand that, actually, just sort of sitting around writing. Because you used to do stand up, Steve, and then you also knocked it on the head to carry on with acting, didn't you?
Just acting, and writing as well. But yes, writing, you can't. It's a very busy job, isn't it? If you're doing it every day.
Stand-ups, it's full on. Like, you do have to sort of put everything else to the side. So I can see why. So the second book that's coming out, the follow-up to Stranger Times, This Charming Man. Can you give us anything about that? Is that more of the same? Does it take a crazy twist?
It's a similar world. I guess the big thing that sort of ended up being in it, weirdly, it's coming out on the week of Valentine's Day, and it's the main thing about it is sort of my take on vampires. Because I've always found vampires, I find this fascination with vampires really weird. They're just creepy sex pests. I don't understand why they're supposed to be these sexy things that Hollywood loves that. And I'm like, they're literally the worst blokes in the world.
Yeah, of course. They're the Me Too of monsters.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, like werewolves are, much nicer. They're all much nicer than any of them. I mean, pick any fictional character, they're better than vampires. Yet for some reason, people find them sexy. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, why is that? It's the neck, in it. Something to do with the neck. People find the neck sexy.
Yeah, well, man, I suppose if you can carry off a cape, you've got to say that's pretty impressive because nobody else can do it, but they seem to manage it somehow.
Yeah, and there's the bat thing as well, though, haven't they? And the bats haven't got a good reputation at the moment.
No, I mean, they've never been terribly popular, but they've taken a real nose dive recently.
Especially now, though. No, they've never been. Oh, look a little cute bat there. They've never been cute, have they? Bats.
Someone needs to do a real PR job on bats. You know, well, for them to be liked. I mean, they're like the Prince Andrew of the animal world right now, aren't they?
Yeah. They're really, well, it's like someone really just took a rat and went, we'll make this better, wings, because people want to see these things fly. It's like,
creepy wings.
Yeah. Exactly. Make them blind. Make them blind.
Yeah. Yeah. What about high-pitched squeaking noise?
That'd be
nice,
good, wouldn't it? So that's What about if they slept upside down? That'd be weird, wouldn't it? That'd be really creepy if you went into a cave and they're all upside down.
Because nothing good ever sleeps upside down. That's one of life's facts.
They are the creepiest, I'll give you that. Okay, well, we'll look forward to that one. So that's This Charming Man, and that is out in February?
February the 17th, and fingers crossed we're going to do a live event, which would be exciting, with Phil Mealy going to be hosting and all, hopefully in Deansgate, Manchester, Books, Waterstones. Fingers crossed if, everything allowing, but...
Yeah, of course. I'm sure you'll be all right. That sounds great stuff. And people can find out more details on your website?
Yeah, more details, just look at whitehairedirishman.com or The Stranger Times. Just look that where any bookshop, wherever you go, should be hopefully have information on.
You're going to stick around with us, CK. We're going to have a little one last little game, I reckon. Why not?
This is The Stranger Times with CK McDonald.
Okay, so this is a game, Queen, where you are going to give us three crazy stories. Two of them are true, one of them is false. We just got to work out which one the false one is.
Okay.
All right, fire away when you're ready, CK.
Okay, story number one. Florida man William Bubba Hodge was arrested for stealing an alligator from his local miniature golf course and attempting to throw it onto the roof of a cocktail lounge. When asked for an explanation, he said he was trying to teach the alligator a lesson.
Okay.
Do you know, all of that is...
I've remembered now this game. Yeah. They all just sound, sound like nonsense.
Yeah, they're all nonsense.
Yeah.
That one's good, but I feel like Bubba... is too cliched to be a real person. But anyway, look, let's listen to the next one and see what happens.
Well, story number two. An American nuclear submarine, the USS Seawolf, thought it was in a two-hour-long game of cat and mouse with an unknown foreign vessel, only to discover that it was two humpback whales who had become locked together while mating. Captain William Free was quoted as saying, "I'm sorry if we added to the stress of an already tricky situation."
What do you reckon to that one, Steve? Keeping your cards close to your chest, isn't
it? Yeah, of course I am. It's a game, isn't it? Like a card game where you keep your cards close to your chest.
I know, I'm just...
Before blindly guessing.
Before taking a wild stab in, before laying all the cards out and going, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and just doing that.
Yeah. This is like tactics of playing heads or tails, but okay, let's give it a go.
We're pretending there's a strategy behind this. Mmm, yes.
Well, I think the name again feels too... I mean, William Free, what? Free Willy? That's, and we're talking about Wales. I just think, is that too cliche? Is it a little joke? Or is it just a mad coincidence that there's a captain called Free Willy?
That's really just thrown me a little bit now.
There you go, you see that. Okay. Next one.
Story number three. The Murphys, an elderly couple from El Paso, Texas... have some unusual house guests. 1 million killer bees living in the walls of their home. They can't afford to get them removed, and so they've learned to live with them. Mrs. Murphy said last year they weren't as aggressive as they are this year, which, to be fair, that's, you know, after a couple of lockdowns, we could all associate with that.
Yeah. Killer bees.
Yeah. I mean, good insulation, though, isn't it? In the walls of the
house. That's true, yeah. I mean, it doesn't get more natural than bees.
No.
Free honey as well, unless the honey's free as well, like killer as well.
Yeah, that's dripping out the light switch, though, isn't it, the honey? So that's never good.
Yeah. Right. Okay. What do you reckon then, Steve?
Which one's not true?
We got the alligator being thrown on. Yeah, we got the alligator being thrown on the cocktail roof to teach it a lesson. We've got two humpback whales being mistaken for some sort of enemy submarine or whatnot from Captain Free Willy. Mm-hmm. And we've got the Murphys there. We've got killer bees in their walls.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the alligator getting thrown on the roof of the cocktail bar.
You think that one's the false one?
I mean, he'd have to be. I mean, how'd you get an alligator?
Also, what lesson? Your local miniature golf course, Steve. They all have them.
I know. But usually the ones on the miniature golf course are sort of timed and their mouths open and closed just as you get the ball through. They're not real. But this one.
What lessons are you teaching it as well? That's what I want to know.
Well, don't drink and drive. That's like a golf joke. That's almost a golf joke. Don't drink and drive.
Yeah. I'm tempted to go with that one because I just think Bubba's too much of a.
But you like the Free Willy thing, don't you?
The Free Willy one has tempted me over there. So I'm going to say I think the submarine one is the made up one.
And I can tell you the answer is Jason. You are correct. You did
what?
The Free Willy. Genuinely thought you wouldn't spot that. I was so annoyed when you got it.
Mate, you got to get up early to catch me.
Because Steve, you forgot the golden rule, which is if it happens in Florida, if it says it happened in Florida,
of course,
true.
That was the golden rule. Yes, I forgot. in America,
literally 70% of all weird news comes from Florida. Very good.
Bees in the walls. It doesn't matter. Just America generally. Bees in the walls. Alligators getting slung around. These things are normal every day. Right, gotcha.
Wow, there you go. Ooh, that was tense. That was tense. How did you do at home? I bet most people got it wrong as well. CK, thanks for joining us this morning, mate. Best of luck with the new book and the podcast and the new book in February as well. Find out more details following CK online, whiteheadirishman.com or the Stranger Times website. Take care, mate. All the best.
All right, cheers, boys.
Where real music matters. Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. What have you got on this week, Steve?
Just hanging around, waiting for house stuff to start moving. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to pack up, obviously. But we don't have a date or a time yet, so I don't want to start until I've got that date.
Yeah. There'll be stuff you can pack that you don't use, though, I suppose.
There will, but,
Yeah, I know what you mean. You want to do it one go, really, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm back out on tour, of course. If you've got Channel 5, I'm sure everyone's got it. I'm on telly tonight, in fact. World's Funniest TV Adverts.
Oh, okay.
Is a show I hosted a little while back, and it's on this week and next week as well, so have a little watch of that. It's very funny. And I'm in Runcorn, Milton Keynes, Cambridge, Southend and Dunstable, and there's tickets left for a couple of those dates. So find those details at jasonmanford.com. Have a lovely Sunday, and we'll see you same time next week here on Absolute Radio.